be, yeah, it's something pinkish. And it's like it numbs everything. And my mind. It goes from one side of me across the front to the other side. D, just over your face or what? B, I don't know. It's all of what I know. D, in other words, that's all you can see right now. Yeah, and what happened as you were walking through the woods? B, I think we could see some sunlight in there somewhere. I thought it was bright. And it was pretty, I thought. The sunlight was coming down through the trees. I don't think it was all over, I think it was over to the right. D, but you know, sunlight does that sometimes. Then what did you do? B, I think we just looked at it. D, was it sunlight? B, puzzled, I don't know. I couldn't. This pink thing. Just couldn't do anything anymore. It's like it stopped everything. Hand motions, except it came from here, across her field of vision. It didn't touch me. And it's slick, but I can't see through it. It just made everything stop. It made my head stop. It doesn't hurt. I can't feel anything. I can't see anything, except this pinkish thing. It's all in front of me, like a shield. D, can you feel anything under your feet? B, I'm not aware of my feet. I just feel numb. Buried memories, 159. D, can you hear anything? B, no. Everything just stopped. Like a still shot. I can't see anything beyond this. Sigh, pale yellow, pinkish. It seems to just freeze everything. D, all right. But remember, it's only temporary, and it won't bother you at all. Beverly was unable to report any sensations at all, as though all of her physical senses had been literally frozen. I soon realized the futility of pursuing this. Her subconscious was not ready to release information yet. I moved her ahead to her next sensation, whether hearing, smelling or feeling. Surprising me, she suddenly began to giggle. B, we're running out of the woods. Giggling. We got out. Laugh, D, what do you mean? B, well, we just got out of there. Big sigh and a laugh, we got out. Pause, my hair was curly. D, what do you mean? B, well, we had curly hair. We were giggling and running out of the woods, and our hair was bouncing. Big sigh, and we did it. We went into the woods, and we came out. D, did anything happen while you were in the woods? B, I don't know. Puzzled, probably something. D, what do you mean? B, well, you know how when you go into where you haven't been before, you wonder if you can get back out. And we did. D, what did you do in the woods? B, just played, I guess. I don't remember. We just, I guess, went in and wandered around. Sigh, I have to go back across the street. It was dark in the woods, but it was light on the school ground when we went in. But now it's getting really dark, so we better go home. D, I guess you better go before you get in trouble. B, I think we're already in trouble. 160. The custodians. D, did you decide not to run away? B, yeah, I guess so. I think we have to go home. I don't know if we're. Oh. I think they came after us. Our mothers. They're coming after us. Almost up to the school ground. D, well, you weren't gone that long, were you? B, I don't know. It's probably. Maybe 6 o'clock. Supper time or something. It's getting dark. D, was it worth it? B, I guess so. They really didn't fuss that much. Maybe because Pat's mother was there, too. My mother would have if she'd been by herself. Probably. And Pat lives on the right-hand side of the street when we're going home. And I live on the left. D, well, did your mother say anything? B, yes. A whiny, scolding, childish tone of voice, with appropriate gestures, where have you been? I've been looking all over for you. She didn't give me a spanking. Giggle, D, you had a little adventure, didn't you? All right, Beverly, I want you to leave that scene, and drift away from there. Had you ever seen that pink shield at another time in your life, or was that the only time? B, I don't think I saw the pink shield. I don't remember a shield. Sometimes I just went off, and I didn't know anything, like everything just stopped. D, I'm going to count to three, and D want you to go to one of those times that you had that feeling, even if you didn't see the pink shield, and you will be able to explain how it happened, and where it happened. I will count to three, and we will go to another time, if one exists, when you had that experience. 1, 2, 3. What are you doing? What do you see? B, I think I went out the window of my bedroom. Puzzled, just went out the window in the air. D, climbed out the window? B, no. Just sucked out. D, how old are you? Buried memories, 161. B, 8 or 9, 10, maybe. D, was the window open? B, yeah. It was open. It's in the summertime. And I was sitting on the bed, and I just got sucked out the window. D, is that unusual? B, laugh, it sounds a little unusual to me. Sigh, I think it has happened more than once. It was evening. There's a vacant lot next to my house. And sometimes I sit in the floor, and lean on the windowsill, and look at the people and the cars going by at night. D, and then what happened? B, I don't know. I just went out the window and then I came back in. D, how did it feel when you went out? B, it felt like a whooshing. Just whooshed out the window. Puzzled, I don't know how I do that. Right through the screen. D, through the screen? What would that feel like? B, puzzled, I don't think I felt it. D, all right, I want you to go with that feeling, and you are going through the screen. Let's follow you as you go out the window like that. And tell me what's happening. B, I think I'm talking to somebody. It's somebody about my size. But I don't really see them. D, how do you know they're there? B, I don't. Really. I think there's just one, right here on my right, talking to me as we're walking through the air. I can't see it. I just get an impression, a feeling. Just kind of a rounded head. Everything's fine and we're just talking. I don't remember looking and seeing particularly. D, you said you feel like you're walking in the air? B, yeah. Right across that lot next door. I think it's floating. I'm not really aware of much below the middle of my body. D, what are you talking about? B, I think just greeting each other. It's friendly. It's like we're doing this again. It's like somebody I know. D, it's familiar to you? 162. The custodians. B, yeah. It's like it's the same person, because it's not new. D, where are you floating to? B, sigh, I don't know. That's as much as I see. It's like I know we're going somewhere, but I don't know what else. D, can you see buildings? B, there aren't any buildings. It's a vacant lot. There are two or three houses a block or so down the street. I can see lights in the distance. But it's mostly just space. D, do you feel like you're very far off the ground? B, yeah, it seems like I came out the window, and went up just a little higher. Probably 4 or 5 feet. Up above window level. D, and you're floating with this other person? B, yeah. I mean, it's not a real person. It's not a person. It's roundish. It's like a person, but it's not colored like a person. It is gray-brown, its skin is wrinkled and tough like elephant skin. In fact, it reminds me of the ridges on an elephant's trunk. He looks strange, but I feel great love. He's familiar to me. He's not a stranger. This description was similar to the nurse creature Phil saw on aircraft in Keepers of the Garden. It was also wrinkled, and gave a feeling of caring. I gave instructions that she could remember what occurred during this strange event. That the memories were there and it was probably time for them to come forward. Then she suddenly announced that her head was hurting, and she pointed to the right temple area. Like a headache. Like it's been squeezed or something. I gave suggestions to take away any discomfort. Then I told her that the memories could come forth, and we could look at them and examine them as a curiosity, and as an observer, if necessary. B, I think there's probably something there, but I don't believe there really is. You can make up stuff like that. D, What do you see that you think you're making up? Buried memories, 163. B. Well, it's probably like a game that you make up. That you go through the air with this little creature thing, and then you go in this spacecraft. D. Well, tell me what you're seeing. We won't worry about whether it's a game or not. If it's a game, we'll play the game. We can have fun playing the game. What do you see? B. Well, we know that's where we're going. He was sent to get me. D. Did he tell you this? B. Well, I just knew that. I don't know how I knew it. I just know I went through the window and he was there. Then we were going back for some kind of visit again. There is something like a spacecraft over on the right. And it's lit up against the back part of that lot. It's a big lot. But that's all I see. D. What does it look like? B. It's round and flat and shiny. D. Round like a ball? B. No. It's like a disc. It's thin. And it's rounded on the top. Kind of flat looking on the bottom, but it's not very thick. And it's shiny. Kind of glowing. Fluorescent looking, almost. Silvery white, all over. D. I wonder if anybody else could see it if they looked. B. I don't know. There's nobody else around. D. What if your mother came in the room while you're gone? Would she see you in there? I was trying to determine if it was Beverly's physical body that went through the window, or her spirit form. B. No. I'm not in there. But I don't think she ever does that. Or if she did, she just thought I was in some other part of the house. She wasn't really looking for me or anything. I know I always shut my bedroom door. And I don't think I stay gone very long. 164. The custodians, apparently she perceived it was her physical body having the experience. D. How big do you think that disc is? B. As big as a house. Well, maybe it's not quite as big as a house. It's a lot bigger than cars. Maybe if you put three cars in a circle, it would be about that big. D. Tell me what is happening. B. I think it's just stopped. I don't see. Continuing this. I don't see a continuance. I saw just what I saw. Like halfway across the lot, and I saw the craft on the other side, and that's where everything stopped. I don't see anything else. D. You don't know if we went any closer to it or not? B. I don't know. I think I probably did. That's where we were going. D. What is the next thing you remember? B. I always fall off the bed on the floor. I always do that when I come back. I'm on the bed and I fall off on the floor. Every time. D. How do you get back to the bed? B. I think they just dump me there. And then I fall off on the floor. It wakes me up then. D. How long have you been having these experiences? B. At least a year or two, I know. It's been going on a long time. Ever since I got my own room, I know. I don't remember it happening before I got my own room. But now I don't remember where I slept before I had my own room. I think probably one summer it happened more often. D. And it's always the same, floating out the window, going out so far, and coming back? B. But I didn't get back the same way I went out. It seemed like I just dropped into my bed. And then fell in the floor, because I'd always think, what am I doing in the floor? D. Did your mother ever hear you hit the floor? Buried memories, 165. B. Yes, she did. She heard this thump. She came in and asked me what I was doing. And I told her I just fell off the bed. I guess she saw I was okay. But I know she heard it in the other room. I then heard her leave the scene she was watching, and I asked her to drift back in time. D. I want you to drift back to the time when you were little, and you used to have some very strange dreams. Do you want to talk about them? B. Well, they were real scary, because these things came into my room at night. I was in a twin bed against the inside wall. And it was dark in my room. They came in after everyone went to sleep. And they crawled around and looked at me. They had great big eyes, and they were like giant insects. That's what I thought they were. There was a window on the other side of the room. Sometimes light came through it, and I could see some of them on the floor. And I could see them at the foot of my bed. They would get over my face and my chest, and I'd open my mouth to scream, but nothing would happen. But when I'd start to really wake up, then I could scream. D. How big were these? B. They were bigger than I am. They were big enough to almost fill up my bed. Their heads were even with my head, on top of my body. I gave her instructions that she could see the scene again very clearly, but it would not bother her. She could watch it as an observer if she wanted to. D. Where are they, as you're looking at them now? B. Okay, there's one that's light-colored, or either the light's hitting it. And two of them, on the floor. Hand motions. D. On your right? 166. The custodians. B. My bed was against the wall, it wasn't in the middle of the room. And so the rest of the room was to my right. And there were one or two of them in the floor, with this moonlight or something coming in. We had Venetian blinds, and they didn't close real tight. And then there were one or two at the foot of my bed. They would either crawl up to me, or their bodies were long enough that their faces were right above my face, looking at my eyes and my nose and my ears and stuff. And they could spread their legs or whatever and hold their bodies up above me without touching me. So their legs were long enough to hold them up off me. But they touched my face sometimes. D. Tell me what they look like. B. They had a great big head, and great big dark eyes. And their bodies were spindly. And it seems like their arm things were the same length as their leg things. They were like insects. Like grasshoppers or something that have legs on the front and legs on the back. They were sleek, streamlined slick. Almost like a tube of long body, with these legs or arms or whatever coming out of it, like insect legs. I think the ones on the floor were a little different. They were lighter in color. And I think they were shorter, and had fatter bodies. D. Did their face look insect-like? B. All I remember is the eyes. And this great big round head like an ant's head. It was round and came to a point, and had great big eyes. The ones in the bed were dark, the ones in the floor were light. I know they were different colors. D. Can you see any hands? B. No, because if they have hands, they're down on the bed and I can't see down there because I'm looking up in their faces. D. Because you said they touched your face sometimes. B. They did. They had fingers. They pulled my eyes open. They poked around on my face. All I can see is fingers, skinny, skinny fingers. Doing like that, on my face. Hand, buried memories, 167, motions, like a touching or stroking of her cheeks. The memory made her upset and she started to cry. D. I wouldn't like that either. Was that all they did? B. Crying, that's all I remember. Crying. Emotional, and then I'd scream and scream and scream. I calmed her down by speaking to her like you would to a frightened child. D. Did you ever notice how they got into the room? B. Surprised, they must have come in through the window. It seems like my door was always shut, because when my mother ran in there when I was screaming, she'd always have to open the door. I don't think they went out the door. D. What happened when you started to scream? B. I think they left. I don't know that I was trying to scare them away. I was just scared, so I was screaming. And I think I would have been screaming before if I could have, but I don't think I could. Then I'd get to where I could scream, and then they'd be leaving. And I guess it woke my mother up, and she'd come in there. But she never saw them. D. Did you ever tell her about them? B. I think I told her giant bugs were getting me. She just told me I was having nightmares, and to go back to sleep. D. Yeah, it sounded like nightmares really. B. Sometimes I knew they were coming, and I'd go get my dog. They wouldn't come when I did that. D. How would you know they were coming? B. I just knew when I went to bed they were going to show up. I just knew it. D. Maybe the dog kept them away? B. Either that, or I never did wake up when I'd cuddle my dog. Or I didn't wake up like I was having a nightmare. D. When that light shone through the window, was it a bright light or what? 168. The custodians. B. It seems like it was pretty bright. I thought it was moonlight, but you know it could have been that thing up in the sky shining that light in through the blinds. I thought we had explored enough for this session. It was strange that this same type of blockage occurred while working with another UFO subject on the next day. She experienced a dark vortex of energy that seemed to freeze or stop things. She also could not remember past a certain point. It is interesting that this same type of blocking should occur in two separate people within such a close proximity of time. In later years, 1990s, of my investigations, this occurred from time to time. Sometimes I could recognize it as an attempt by the subconscious to block the information if the subject was not ready to investigate something like this. Other times I wondered if it was caused by post-hypnotic suggestion from the aliens themselves to keep the subject from remembering past a certain point. In the sessions that followed with Beverly, we were able to erase the block and discover what lay beyond that barrier. A few weeks later we met again, and had another session. We were still trying to find something that would explain her health and money problems in this life. This time the block that had been present the last time was gone. At the beginning of the session, her subconscious offered her two separate past lives to look at. One was in a desert land. The other one appeared to be dated around the Civil War. I let her make the choice, and she went easily into a lifetime that apparently ended around the turn of the century. It was not very interesting to me, it was rather mundane, which is normal, but it did have some information that was important for Beverly. She next went into the other life she had glimpsed, the life in the desert. She was a middle-aged man, a member of a group of nomadic desert dwellers. They traveled taking a herd of goats, buried memories, 169, with them. The goats were important for their survival because, besides providing food, they were sold in the towns or traded for necessities. I took her through important events, and she was in a marketplace selling and trading for goods to carry with them. She liked the freedom of being able to wander, and being free from laws and restrictions imposed by city life. When asked for a name of the tribe, she came up with the name Teleg, but she wasn't sure if it was the name of the tribe or the town or her own. She thought they were located in Egypt. Much information came forth, but it was a dull existence. The surprise came when I moved her to another important day in that life. I normally take the subject through an entire lifetime, touching on important days and then ending with their death. Occasionally they will leapfrog into another unrelated life. This is common and shows the instability of the subconscious to hold on to one lifetime when this experiment is first tried. When the subject exhibits this, I usually go with it because the subconscious may have something more important it wants to bring forth. Normally, after a few sessions, the subject can hold to one lifetime and explore it in detail. Apparently, Beverly's subconscious thought there was no reason to continue to explore the desert life. It decided to jump forward into something it considered more meaningful. I could have returned her to the desert life for more information, but I decided to go with the subconscious this time. Since it had presented a block in the prior session, I thought it might be getting ready to open the door. I asked her to leave the marketplace scene, and to move forward to another important day in her life. "What are you doing now? What do you see?" "B, I'm out on a driveway at my daddy's service station." "D, she obviously was no longer in the desert life." "O, where is that?" "B, just down the street from my house." "D, in what town is that?" "B, in Shreveport." "D, what are you doing out there?" 170, "The custodians, B, playing with the guys that work there. They're teaching me about Harry Truman and the ABCs. And to count." "D, oh. How old are you?" "B, 5 or 6. "D, is your name Beverly?" "B, uh-huh. They're teaching me how to spell that too." "D, do you go to school yet?" "B, no. But I'll know more than the other kids when I go to school, 'cause Eddie teaches me. Eddie's a black man. I don't know why they call them black, 'cause they're brown." "D, yeah, they are. Well, you're lucky if some Ewan's teaching you. You will know more than the other kids, won't you?" "B, uh-huh. And I'm happy. I like Eddie. He only has one hand though." "D, he does? What happened?" "B, matter of fact, the other one he got chopped off." This typical childish honesty can sometimes be surprising. "D, oh, And you say dear daddy has a gas station. B, and Eddie works for him. Eddie's about as smart as my daddy. D, well, I think that's nice that he's teaching you. I decided to try for the scene in the woods again, now that the barriers apparently were down. She was obviously in a much deeper state. She was exhibiting the personality of the little girl, even down to her facial expressions, hand gestures and body mannerisms. I structured my speech and questions as though speaking to a child. D, let's move ahead to when you're in the first grade, and you're going to school and you're learning things. Move ahead to the day that you went with your friend into the woods next to the school. Why did you do that? Didn't you want to go home? Buried memories, 171. B, no. We wanted to stay out and play some more. D, do you like school? B, it's okay. I met a lot of new people. And it's easy. All we do is color in books all the time. D, aren't you learning your letters and things? B, yeah. But I already know M. I'm the littlest one in school, but so far I know as much as they do. D, well, who's with you? B, this one teacher that's getting married, and I can't think of her name. But I can see her face. She's got brown hair and she's going to get married and her name will change. And there's Clinton. There's another teacher. And my friend, Patricia. And some boy named Bobby. D, these are in your class? B, out on the school ground. D, well, then did you go over into the woods? B, yeah, when school was out and everybody left, Patricia and I did. D, tell me about it. What were the woods like? B, softly and childishly pretentious, they were scary. D, chuckle, but was it a good scary? B, yeah. And the trees are real tall. And we are just giggling, because we're doing something we're not supposed to do. D, have you ever been in the woods before? B, not over there in those woods. I've been in some little, little woods. But this is woods for a long, long ways. D, aren't you worried you might get lost? B, I'd come back out the same way we came in. D, what do you see as you walk? B, well, we see a lot of trees. There was a long pause. Her eye movements indicated she was experiencing something. D, is Patricia about your age? 172. The custodians, her voice was quieter as she answered, yeah. I knew something was happening, but I had to be very careful not to lead or suggest. B, cautiously, I think there's something in there in the woods. It might be mice. Might not be. Might be big insects. D, what do you see? B, I don't see anything, but I just know there's something in there. I can hear it. D, what does it sound like? B, pause, it's just movement. There's something moving around in there. D, are you going to find out what it is? B, I don't know. I don't think we better go any further. I think we better stay right here. I see a light. D, where is it coming from? B, it's coming from in the woods, coming out toward me. D, how big is the light? B, it's not real big. But it's blue, blue white. It's coming forward. D, about as big as a flashlight? B, no, it's bigger than a flashlight. D, like the headlight of a car? B, kind of. It would be that big, yeah. D, but headlights aren't that color, are they? No, is it coming fast or slow? B, slow. But I don't know what to do. Sigh, I have to be brave. D, what do you want to do? B, well, I don't think I can do anything. I don't think I can run. I think I'm already caught. D, why don't you think you can run? B, I just don't think I can. I think it's too late. It's like I'm in a snare trap or something. I don't think I can back out now. It doesn't feel like I can turn around or anything. D, is the light still there? Buried memories, 173. B, I think we're going with it. Yep, it's pulling us to it. D, how big is it now? B, it's as big as I am. D, at first you said it was about as big as a headlight? B, that's where it was coming out of, but it shows out a big light. When it gets to where it's as big as I am, I can't go anywhere. It's all around me. D. What about Patricia?